All four serve. We start whenever we start. I know many of you are not going home, and then those who can't make it in the morning, more people, please keep your seats. But you can only keep it till whenever the service starts, 20 minutes of the service. If you are not on seat, your seat will be taken. So the Bible says, let no man take your crown. So, because many more people will be here in the evening, and we are giving the opportunity for the fact that you are here in the morning, you can keep your seat till 20 minutes into the service. After that, thy bishopric shall be given to another. All right. Are we set this morning? Let me say happy birthday to Pastor Joshua one more time. We love you. We have a surprise, but it's not yet now. We. Amen. And she sang so well for her husband. Of course, it's allowed. Is someone ready for an encounter? How many of you saw Lekki in the morning? So you see. That was explosive. I planned to bring the apostle up and to run to come and bring up Pastor Jerese, but I didn't know how I found myself waiting till the end of the offering. That kind of meeting, you don't stand up to leave. But we are so blessed this morning. Yeah. This morning, almost afternoon. So I have one more time. Every year comes with a new experience. No two visits have been the same. Because God's mercy, they are new every morning. We are so honored again to have this man whose unction, the unction of God upon his eyes, ever, ever fresh. No matter wherever you meet him, anytime you listen to him, it's the same result from glory to glory. At times I watch him and you are wondering, do we really know this man? I saw the meeting in Ghana, then the meeting here and the meeting there. This is somebody that obviously is not having a better yesterday. God is taking you from one realm to another. Prepare your heart this morning or this afternoon now, again today. It will be here this afternoon. It will be here later in the evening. And it will be here tomorrow morning for the final session. With our heart prepared this morning, household of David again, we welcome the president of Eternity Network International, Koinonia Abuja, Apostle Joshua Selman. Okay. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, Apostle Josh reminded me now that I should let everybody know that tonight's meeting is a miracle service. God bless you.
Spirit, you will speak to us and take us to higher levels of understanding and higher levels of power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. May God bless you. Please be seated. I'm charging our hearts briefly this afternoon, and then we prepare for the meeting in the night. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. The Bible says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory." Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The faith life that we have been called into is a life of victory. Remember that God has not called us to a life of defeat. He has not called us to a life of misery. Every believer has been predestined in Christ and through Christ to live the victorious Christian life. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. It's important that we establish that so that we know that our faith walk and our faith adventure in this kingdom has been predetermined. The victory of the believer is not something God is about to decide on. It's been established. Are we together? Our assignment, however, is to be able to, through knowledge and revelation, piece together the factors and the spiritual forces that we need to put together to establish and to manifest that victory in our lives here and now. Hallelujah. There are two dimensions of spiritual operations as far as God and men is concerned. There is the prophetic dimension that is already finished in Christ. But there is the experiential manifestation of that which is finished. Are we together? So it is possible to read from scripture realities that have been finished in Christ and never have them captured in your experience of your lifetime. Are we together? Our assignment every time we meet is to expose ourselves through the ministry of the Word and the Spirit to the various factors that need to be together. Are we together? So that the victorious life manifests experientially. And if we're able to achieve that even in this conference, then it would have strengthened our walk with God so that the things that you read in the Bible now becomes your experience. The Bible says the Word became flesh. It became flesh and it dwelt among us. And the Bible says we beheld. We only beheld when it dwelt among us, the glory, even as of the Father, full of grace and truth. Many believers profess realities that have been established in Christ as revealed in Scripture, but are never able to capture the richness of the victorious Christian life in their lives here and now. The danger that is connected to that kind of Christian experience is that eventually your frustration by reason of not experiencing the goodness of God will produce a theology that will mislead others. I hope you know that every believer is called a living epistle. That means your life is preaching a message, and it is possible for your life to preach a wrong message that misrepresents God simply because your life is unable to capture the realities of the faith walk as intended. So if my life is the only template about God you see, the areas where I do not experience victory in my life will misrepresent God as far as you're learning God through me is concerned. Are we together? This is the reason why we need to continually insist that the average believer matures so that your life becomes a multifaceted representation of all the possibilities in God. That when people look at your life, even if their Bible is closed, your life opens it again and your life becomes a continuation of their learning God. They can see the possibilities of the kingdom life expressed through the various victories that are represented in your life. Are we together now? This is very important. And to be able to establish victory in the spirit, the Bible mandates that we access light and the requisite level of spiritual illumination. Please listen carefully. Every dimension of victory in the kingdom is connected to a certain kind of light, a certain kind of revelation. There is the revelation that is connected to longevity. There is the revelation that is connected to prosperity. There is the revelation that is connected to depth in God and encounters with the Spirit. There is a revelation that is connected to deliverance from all the assaults of darkness. So line upon line, precept upon precept, as we expose ourselves to these revelations, eventually we will find out that our lives now start evolving to be worthy representations. Are we together? Of the potential that is locked up in this kingdom life. That is the reason why believers, even though they've encountered Jesus, they must grow. Because if they remain stunted, number one, they will be frustrated. Their Christian experience will not be a worthy model to be able to inspire others to learn God. Are we together? You will not want to follow a believer whose life is full of defeat and failure. We may excuse you for a while, but when your spiritual excuses become indefinite, it now becomes a misrepresentation of everything the Bible says. Hallelujah. When the woman met Jesus at the well, they had a conversation. Remember the woman at the well? And eventually she discerned he was a prophet. And then they began to talk about matters of worship. At the end of that discussion, she had come into that knowledge. Something had happened to her. The Bible says she ran to the city and said, "Come see a man." I don't know what he will do with you, but I can use my life. Come see a man who has told me everything that I've done. The Bible says, at the proposition of that woman, they came. They didn't come because they loved Jesus. They came because they knew a woman whose life before and after, they could see the difference. Have I lost you? Are we still here? Are we together? And when they came to Jesus, they now had a discussion with him personally. Listen to their testimony after that encounter. They said, we now believe. Not just because this woman, paraphrasing, brought us, we have experienced him for ourselves. Now they can become living epistles. They can go back and tell them that God is good. Not just because I saw his goodness in the life of another. I have become a testament of his goodness too. I testify that your goodness is real. I testify that your goodness is real. Your goodness is real. I testify. Hallelujah. And so I want to share with us just a few keys that guide us to establish our victory again, as connected to the theme of this conference. I've titled my little charge, The Sounds of Victory. The Sounds of Victory. Psalm 118 and verse 15. Everything you are learning from me and from every other man of God within the lifetime of this conference, it ends tomorrow. It's important that you understand it and you archive it as part of the tools that will be responsible for establishing victory in your spiritual life. Are we together now? That means we expect a higher level of results in your life by this conference next year. It is not this version of you that should return next year. Are we together? The Bible says, the voice of rejoicing and salvation, is that KJV, is in the tabernacle of the righteous. It says the shouts of joy and victory shall not depart from the tents of the righteous. It says the right hand of God dealt valiantly. The sound, is that KJV? The sound, the shouts of joy, it says, the original King James, the shouts of joy and victory will remain in the tent or the camp of the righteous. The way this kingdom was designed, ladies and gentlemen, is that this earth responds to sound. Sound is not just an issue of physics and chemistry. Science borrowed that phenomenon from the realm of the spirit. Are we together? This is a sound-activated, not just planet, but domain. Nothing happens within this domain until and unless there is a sound. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 1, when you read from verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, now, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered round the face of the waters. The Bible does not tell us how long verse 2 lasted. We just know that there was darkness. How long? We are not given the privilege of that information. But then verse 3, the Bible now says, Genesis 1 and verse 3, and God said, notice, he never said, and God saw. He didn't say, and God wanted. The first expression of God as revealed in scripture was as a speaking spirit. Are we together now? And God said. And God said. That was his first response to chaos. That was his first response to something that was negative. The Spirit of God kept hovering around, but nothing happened. You would think the presence of the Spirit upon the face of the deep would automatically lead to things, changes, and the rest. Even though the Spirit of God was there, nothing happened. Then the Bible says, and God said. There was a sound that came from God. And then the Bible says, there was. The moment God said, there was. Becoming did not happen because of his presence. Becoming happened because of the sound that came from him. The presence of God was already hovering round, and yet nothing changed. And God said, light be, or let there be light. And the Bible says, there was. And every other thing that will happen from that time was at the mercy of God said. God said, and he said, and he saw. And he said, and he saw. He said, and he saw. Are we together? This is very, very powerful. So we see immediately that even in creation and in the economy of God, sound is a very vital component, not only to creation, but to the manifestation of everything that reflects God. That if there has to be a birthing and a manifestation of spiritual realities, it will not be without the sound factor. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 1, Joel chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says to blow the trumpet in Zion. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Then he says, sound an alarm. Where? Upon my holy mountain. So we see that God connected seasons and occurrences to sound. That there were certain sounds that meant seasons had changed. There were certain sounds that signified activities that were about to happen upon the earth. Are we together? The nation of Israel, God's people, were trained to respond to sound. So they had instruments that signified certain things. There were sounds that when they heard, they knew that it was a sound of war, that an enemy was trying to invade, and they would prepare themselves. Are we together? They did not move from house to house to tell everybody, be ready, battle is coming, be ready. No, it was just one sound. And everyone who heard that sound knew immediately that that sound was a language. When they went out to battle and they would defeat the kings and carry their treasures, when they were coming in, the triumphant entry back to their base, there was a sound that every time they heard, they knew that victory was already in place. Is someone hearing now? Yes. So the people of God were trained to respond to sound. The realm of the spirit operates thus, that same pattern. When there is a sound, it tells you that something is happening upon the earth. And God said, that means the chaos that was there, somebody must have said something that led to that chaos. Are we together? Yes. Under a certain sound condition, order now was restored. When God was going to make man, please look up. I hope you know that every material of creation of man was already there, but there was a certain sound that would bring it together that was not yet pronounced. And so man was disintegrated, scattered across. But the Bible says, let us. The moment there was a sound, a making happened again. You would notice that creation always followed sound. Please follow me very carefully. That means there are certain things in your life that are possibilities. But the kind of sound they were instructed to respond to, you have not yet produced it. That's why some results have not yet happened. Are we together? Yeah. When you read Daniel chapter 3, the Bible tells us that the king made a decree in Babylon. Are we Bible students? That when you hear a certain sound, the sound of the harp, the timbrel, and all of this, everybody in Babylon must bow to that 90-foot stature. You find that in Daniel chapter 3. So you didn't need to go to every home to say, listen, the king has made a decree, bow. That sound, the moment you heard that sound, It was a sound that will compel you to worship. In this case, the worship of the image that Nebuchadnezzar built. Are we learning now? Everything in creation was designed to function in a certain way, but there is a sound component that brings them to order and alignment. Are we together now? This is very, very powerful. And until the components in creation hear that sound, they do not come into the kind of order that brings glory to God. Every chaos in your life has a condition with which it will rearrange itself. But until you master the sound that releases creation to reorder itself, there is a sound that if creation hears, it must bring favor to you. It was instructed to honor that sound. That sound is connected to favor. And until it hears that sound, you can need favor and never get it. The sick body right now, the sickness itself, there is a certain sound that the body has been designed to hear. And if that body hears that sickness, that sound, it will correct itself. It is true. Even medical science. Oh dear. Are we learning? Am I wasting your time? Listen, I'm teaching you a very deep mystery. If you understand, that means if your life is stagnant, you see, I respect science and biology. Thank God we've written all the exams and it's over. But let me tell you this. We were taught that there's the characteristic of living things and non-living things. And one of it is that non-living things don't hear. Now, I'm not saying this from an educational standpoint. I'm preaching as a man of God. Number one, in the realm of the spirit, there is no such thing as non-living thing. The concept of non-living is only true for science. Number two, the concept of hearing is a privilege of everything, not just men. Everything hears. Because sound is part of the component of creation. So the hearing ear was given to everything, including the earth. Is it not in your Bible when the prophet said, O earth, hear? Just because you cannot find where the ear is, does not mean it is not there. Please pay attention. Do you know, when you understand this principle, you will not go back and be regretting and hoping that things change. You will spend your time learning the sounds that are connected to the outcomes that you desire. Just follow me very carefully. In physics, there is what we call resonance. Resonance is a scientific principle, is that true? That operates based on frequencies. That if you use, say for instance, a tuning fork and you strike it at a frequency, every other material that is at that frequency begins to resonate. Is that true? That means you don't have to hit all of them one by one. Do you agree with me? It then means there is something you can do right here, that all over the earth, whatever belongs to you, connected to you, can resonate like that and look for you. Are we together now? For this session, there are two kinds of sounds that I want to teach you. Number one, the first sound that controls the victory of the believer is the sound of prayer. The sound that comes from prayer. I hope you know that when you speak, you would be learning now the reason why when you pray aloud. It does not make sense to be talking aloud when you are alone. Are we together? If I'm with someone and I'm praying or I'm talking to you, then we can speak. I'm using a mic now because I'm talking to everyone. Imagine that you meet me in the room alone and I'm talking, I'm saying it, and I'm holding the mic. It's either I'm rehearsing for ministry or something is wrong with me. Why then does a believer talk to the Lord, and sometimes you are speaking in the room and you are saying, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, and you actually believe that what you are saying is being heard? The sound that comes through prayer, creation has been designed that every time you pray, the sound that comes from that prayer should be honored by creation. There will always be a reaction in the heavens and in the earth from the sound that comes through prayer. Psalms 5, verse 1 to 3. The first sound of victory is the sound of prayer. Give ear to my words. We're reading to verse 3. O Lord, consider my meditation, it says. Verse 2. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. Verse 3. It says, my voice shall thou hear in the morning, O God. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto you and will look up. Look at what this man is saying. He's saying, I am going to pray, and there is a sound that will arise from my prayer that will compel your attention. This is powerful. When we pray, it is more than just communication. Our prayer raises a sound that begins to instruct creation to respond in a certain way. I prophesied as I was commanded, and there was a sound. You would look at those bones, because they were very dry, a state of hopelessness. They were only dry because the sound that would bring them together had not yet been released. Are we together? Psalms 50 and verse 5, please give it to us. Psalm 50 and verse 5. Someone's life is changing in the name of Jesus Christ. Psalm 50. Is it verse 5? Oh dear. Give us 50. I'm looking for. Let me pull it up here. Just a moment, my apologies. I needed to see what is written in that psalm. I was studying it, and when I saw this written, I was so, so blessed. It says, please give it to us from verse 15. It says, call upon me in the day of trouble. Please look up. How do you know the day of trouble? If I say, call on me on Wednesday, how do you know today is Wednesday? Are we together? Call upon me in the day of trouble. That means there are moments and there are seasons in the earth that heaven recognizes that these are days of trouble. Are we together? And there are signs that are given to you that the moment you see that those seasons appear, call upon me and I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. That part of glorify me blessed me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. You can call upon me any day, but the moment you see the day, I hope you know days in the Bible also talk of seasons. It doesn't just mean a 24-hour time period. So call upon me in a season of trouble. It says, I will deliver thee and I will glorify you. My deliverance is there, but there is a sound I must hear from the earth. If I do not hear that sound, you can be a victim in the day of trouble. Scripture number 3, Acts chapter 4. Please, let's read from verse. Acts chapter 4. Give us verse 23. Acts 4 and verse 23. This was the healing of the man at Gate Beautiful. Are we together? And the consequences of this now. The Bible says that the disciples, they were let go and they went to their company and reported all that had happened to the chief priest and what the elders had said. Now, We're reading down to 33. Please be patient. Follow closely. It says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. Are you seeing there now? With one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hath made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Next verse. Who by the mouth of thy servant David said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Does this look like Psalm 50? It says, when you see the day of trouble, don't discuss, don't negotiate, call upon me and I will deliver you and you will glorify me. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. It says, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Is that in your Bible? 30. By stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child. 31. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, what was the response? The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Two more verses. The Bible says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. And all of those things that happened, verse 33 now, it says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them. The moment they were threatened, they knew that their deliverance was dependent on the sound that will come from prayer. You would think because they were apostles already and they had the Holy Ghost living in them, deliverance will be automatic. There are many Christians who have not allowed the angelic forces to respond towards you, because there is a sound that has been authorized. Until it leaves from the earth through prayer, nothing should happen from the heavens. Are we together? When they caught James, Apostle James, there is no mention of that prayer to heaven, and James was beheaded. You would think God were powerless. But when they caught Peter, is that in your Bible? In Acts chapter 12, they bound Peter hand and feet, and they gathered all kinds of people to, they jailed him and put him across prisons with different doors. The Bible says in Acts chapter 12, when you read from verse 4, it says, but prayer, verse 5 now, let's go to verse 5. It says, Peter was in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church to God for him. They could not come to the prison to release him physically, but they could stay where they were and produce a sound in prayer. Are we together? And the realm of the spirit began to resonate and to respond to that sound. There is a sound you can produce in prayer that announces to creation that you should no longer be a tenant again. Whatever will make you a landlord will start following you because a sound came. Listen, there is a sound that can come from the earth to heaven, and the response is that you are shielded and surrounded. Even your salvation depends on a sound. That the word is nigh thee in thy heart and in your mouth, even though the word is near you, it cannot save you until you confess that sound. Why would God tie the salvation of a man to sound? The healing of blind Bartimaeus was not just tied to the power of God, it was tied to a certain sound. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. He would have said, thou son of David, good afternoon. That is a sound, but not the sound for healing. Thou son of David, see you later. I hear you are a good man. That is not the sound connected to the healing. Many of us make sounds. For instance, the sound of lamentation. Why is my life like this? That is wonderful for contemplation, but it's not the key to your deliverance. That is not the sound the realm of the spirit has been waiting for. Others have made the sound of complaining. I don't like the way my life is going. I think this is unfair. Nigeria is unfair. In fact, the whole world is unfair. That is a sound that only suits you. In the realm of the spirit, it does not connote to any response. Someone, you need to change your sound in prayer. There is a sound the realm of the spirit has been waiting for. And the Holy Spirit sent me here to help you re-coordinate the kind of sound that you are producing. Do you know even physical death, there is a sound that can come out from you and you can die? Ask the wife of Job. She was tired and she said, listen, we know this thing. There is something that can leave you to the heaven and you will lose your life physically. Curse God, she said, and die. How do you curse God? Someone teach me how to curse God. How do you curse God? As somebody who is sick and seated in one place with boils all over your body, and yet the woman knew that there is something that can leave your mouth to heaven, and the result is you will die. That means there is something that can leave your mouth to heaven, and the result is that you will live. Is it not in your Bible? I set before you life and death. I set before you blessing and cursing. But listen, choose life. Choose life. The first sound that controls the victory of the believer is the sound that comes from the place of prayer. No wonder before Jesus died, midwifing the Last Supper and the cross was Gethsemane. And did you notice that all that happened in Gethsemane was that prayer? The Bible says he was groaning. What else was he doing when he was going to die? There were sounds he was living in the realm of the spirit, because after 3 days he would come back. And without that sound, I assure you, he would have remained on the cross and remained. He would not rot because he was the word of God, but he wouldn't come back to life. There was a sound. Many of us have left our destinies barren of the sound that is required for our rising, our excelling. And we keep wondering why negative things keep happening. I got up this morning, and why is it that everybody does not like me? Because if you don't make that sound, somebody is making it on your behalf, on the realm of the spirit. The realm of the spirit. Someone is speaking and saying, may this person's life be miserable. And the realm of the demon forces are also acting on that sound. No wonder when God honors his people, he honors them with the shouts of joy and rejoicing. There is a sound that must come out from the camp of the righteous. Are we together? This is powerful. Sir, please stand. This is a sound. What did the sound say? Stand. Are we together? Did I have to pull you up? You responded to that sound. Is that true? Please sit. Please remain there. Now watch this. I'm asking him to remain there.